Welcome to Healing and Revelation, a weekly program hosted by healing evangelist Dr. Bill and Barbara Dewar of Revelation Wisdom Ministries.
To everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus.
This is Bill Dewar. Welcome to Healing and Revelation. Thank you for joining us this morning. We have a packed program of information where we continue what we did last week and try to focus on some key aspects of healing. So here goes.
Last week, we did a lot of work on different types of prayers, and I want to explain a little bit more about that, but let me first review what we spoke about. We learned how to pray in the name of Jesus. We spoke about the blood of Jesus, about pleading the blood of Jesus. We talked about Psalm 91. We talked about the different types of prayer, such as praying for those in authority and intercessory prayer for groups. And to some extent, the intercession of the Holy Spirit was discussed in Romans 8, verse 26. So the question is, why did we want to go through that? Well, part of it is when we review what God has done for us, it helps increase our most holy faith. And in this particular case, it shows us what God has done. So it's encouraging. It leads us into a direction that's closer to God. I assume not all of us knew what some of these prayers were for, or even that these types of prayers existed. So you might not use them all the time, but they certainly have some value. And the purpose here, in a way, is get closer to God. And part of getting closer to God is really to develop a personal relationship with Jesus. If we can talk to Jesus about any of our things, He and the Holy Spirit will lead us into the correct prayers that we need to be successful at that point in time. I know that's happened to me more than once, so I encourage you to do all those things. Now, a closer relationship to God means to me that we are operating out of the kingdom of heaven and not the kingdoms or the ways of this world. It says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Now, the things that I'm talking about here and he's talking about are health, salvation, prosperity, deliverance, and so forth. Now, you all know the ways of this world, but this world is corrupt and it's certainly dictated by Satan. The kingdom of God, on the other hand, is a way for us to accomplish a lot of goals without having to use the ways of this world. So we want to get close to God in the long term. We have to use certain things when we get into healing. This gives us a much closer personal relationship, but it requires diligence on our part to seek the Lord in all the things that we're involved in. So in 3 John verse 2, it says that, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and that just as your soul prospers." So I think it's a worthwhile goal. It'll certainly help us in our healings. It'll help us in our walk with the Lord. And I might point out that, like it says in the Star Wars movies, your decisions will determine your destiny. Thank you. Hi, this is Bill Dewar. Today we're talking about faith versus unbelief and the value of fasting and prayer. It says in Mark 16, verse 18, "They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Jesus said that, and we do that, and I want to give you a simple example of what happened many years ago with my daughter. I was watching our six-month-old daughter, and she had a sinus congestion. She had a hard time breathing. She was upset. Lots of things were going on. I thought she had caught the cold that our son had, so I called our doctor and asked if I could give her the same medicine that he was taking, and the doctor said no, she was too young for that kind of medicine. And so after I hung up with him and was glad I called, I thought about a show I heard on the radio that week, and that show was from Kenneth Hagin, and he talked about healings. And I decided that I would use my faith to heal my daughter's sinus congestion. Well, guess what? My little bit of faith, I'd never done it before with her or another person, yet she was healed. In a few minutes, her sinus congestion had gone away. She was breathing smoothly. She had fallen asleep. And I thought, what a great thing. And, you know, all the praise and honor goes to God, because that was just, to me back then, it was amazing. Now, we've seen it happen hundreds of times since then. But the important thing to remember is a little simple faith is just phenomenal and very powerful in the healing. Now, the problem that shows up after you do that and you start telling people about it, the naysayers come out and say, "Oh, we can't do that." They got 1,000 reasons why, and all the reasons that you come up with are just like Satan saying to Eve in the garden, "Did God really say that?" They plant a question inside of you, and that question grows into unbelief. Now, Jesus dealt with unbelief like that, unfortunately, with the apostles, and there's a couple of things that happened I think it's Mark 9, verse 24, where the apostles could not heal or cast out a demon that was possessing a young boy. Now, it was interesting. Jesus said to the father of the boy, "How long has he had this?" And the father said, since he was little, he jumps into fires. He does all sorts of things. And Jesus did cast the demon out. And later on, the apostles asked him about that. And he told them the reason why they couldn't cast it out is because this kind of demon requires fasting and prayer to pull it out of the little boy. But the boy's father said something which is really interesting. He says, "I have faith, but help my unbelief." And the problem is that he realized that there were two separate items. It's kind of like a pulling rope contest. On one side, you have faith, and the other side, you have unbelief. Many people feel that unbelief is just the same as weak faith, but it's not. It's actually a separate thing, and we have to keep that unbelief out of our system to be effective. Thank you.
Hi, it's Barbara Dewar. Welcome to the war. Many in the body of Christians believe that God created Satan, and Satan is superior to man. Satan got his authority from man, not from God. God made Lucifer. Man made Satan. Jesus redeemed us from the curse and gave us back our authority, Galatians 3:13. "Get behind me, Satan," Matthew 16. You are not going to win a battle against Satan with physical powers. We are in spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, Our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. James 3:16 tells us where envy and strife are, every evil thing is there. When selfishness, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, complaining is there, you are yielding to the prompting of demons. They cause offense, but demons need a person's consent to do these things. Devil does not fight fair. The devil comes from behind and then he hits you with a 2x4. He pulls a gun on you. Devil does not want to duke it out face to face because the devil is a sneak. In every test, temptation, God will make a way of escape for you. You will be challenged, but you can win. For example, Jonah. The devil said, "You're done. You've been eaten by a whale." But Jonah came out on the other side. What we believe is important. The devil builds strongholds in our minds. The devil will whisper in your ear, "Who do you think you are?" If you are not rejoicing in the Lord, then you are yielding to Satan. When you are tired and sleepy, or you eat too much junk food, or when you feel bad, is when you don't always pray. James 1:20, the wrath of a man, which means yielding to Satan, is not righteousness from God. So guard your heart with all diligence. If you get your feelings hurt, don't get bitter. Do what is right when no one's looking. Do you do that? Are you a person of biblical purpose? Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the full armor," because Ephesians 6:16 says the enemy will throw fiery darts at you. I have felt those fiery darts in my back. Bill and other believers, through Jesus, pulled them out because Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. One of the reasons people are deceived is because they are fighting on a physical level and are not doing spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12 tells us we are wrestling not against flesh and blood. And you will know the truth, and it will set you free. John 8:31 to 32. And my husband, I'm signing over to him. He has a few words on that also.
All authority has been given to the believer to bind Satan. So what we have to look for is, if we get pain, pain is the first indication of an attack by the enemy. It cracks open the door for other spiritual, for other spirits or diseases to come in. Cast the pain out immediately. Say aloud, "Father God, in the name of Jesus, I bind the pain in my whatever part of your body and command it to leave him or her now." And then say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law and from all sickness and disease. By his stripes we have been healed. Have a blessed day. This is Bill Dewar.
So our revelation for today and this week is that the Holy Spirit is the comforter and our healer, and the Holy Spirit enables us to talk in tongues. So what is tongues? Tongues is a way for us with groanings, and this is described in Romans 8:26. When we don't know what to pray for, we groan, and the Holy Spirit will hear us and interpret our tongues and understand our situation so that we will be able to have the intercession of the Holy Spirit to pray for us the things that we need at that point in time. So if you don't know what you need, pray in tongues and the Holy Spirit will pray for you. So the Holy Spirit will intercede with God the Father to enable you to be praying correctly because they see the circumstances that you're in. So that's a brief overview. And now we're going to dig more into the Holy Spirit in tongues and also review later on all the other things that we've been talking about this week and last week.
Hi, this is Barbara Doerr. Welcome to today's broadcast. We'll be talking about the Holy Spirit versus evil spirits. Test, discern, examine the spirits to see if they are from God, 1 John 4. Discernment of spirits is one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. No one can confess that Jesus is Lord unless led by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 3. Whoever does not have the Holy Spirit thinks that the Holy Spirit's gifts are nonsense. They do not have God's wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2, 13. The world cannot know the Holy Spirit nor the work of the Holy Spirit, John 14, 12. Do not despise the Holy Spirit. Do not despise inspired messages. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Be eager to prophesy and do not forbid the speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:39. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a separate experience from being saved. It gives you power to heal, prophesy, speak in tongues, cast out demons. Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit for discernment, direction, and power. Matthew 12:28. You can go to heaven without the baptism of the Holy Spirit by just being saved, but you won't have the above powers. With the Holy Spirit, you get a power to live through the hardships of life. Romans 5, verse 3. And Matthew 26:41. The Spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. The apostles did not have the Holy Spirit yet, but after Pentecost, the apostles changed. Acts 2, verse 1. Jesus will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. He is the Holy Spirit who will reveal the truth about God. John 14:17. Everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and who knocks it shall be opened. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? All you have to do is ask, believe, and receive. God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Luke 11:13. Let's pray aloud. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I recognize the need for your power in my life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. By faith, I receive him now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your baptism. If you want to know more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can find it in 1 Corinthians 14:1-32. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are in Galatians 5:16-23. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gives you power. 2 Timothy 1:7. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Veils are removed from your eyes. 2 Corinthians 3:14. Don't know what to pray for? Speak in tongues. Romans 8:13-26. Thank you, Jesus.
Hi, this is Bill Doerr. I'm with my wife, Barbara Doerr.
Hello.
And we're here following up on some of the things that we brought up this week, and we wanted to amplify and rubber stamp a little bit stronger. Regarding ungodly spirits, we want to provide a caution about that. My wife's going to do that in a moment. But I just wanted to give you a story, if you will. We've been praying for people for many years, and at the outset, I didn't believe that there was a lot of ungodly spirits out there. But as I, and let's face it, most of the time, I don't really know the people I'm praying for. But what I found is when I started casting off ungodly spirits, the healing rate and healing response jumped way up. Apparently, there are spirits that we have around us or in us that we don't even know about. So I just feel that that's something that we ought to be cautious about, and I'd like you to read that statement you have about that.
Okay. Concerning deliverance, My God reigns. He reigns. All believers have authority over demons, Colossians 2, verses 9 to 10. For those who know God through Jesus and are unmovable in their relationship with Him, there's really no problem casting out devils. However, as illustrated in Acts 19, verses 13 to 17, those who do not really know Jesus as their Savior should not attempt a deliverance.
Thank you. A different topic that we wanted to amplify is fasting and prayer. Now, we mentioned the importance of that, and I just want to try to explain how that works. We use fasting to get our flesh under control. Things like unbelief seem to be part of our mindset, seem to be in people around us. But to control that unbelief, what I do when we are going for a praying session is I fast typically the whole day, the 24 hours before that session, so that I'm not bothered by temptations of the flesh while we're in the process. Now, there are many different types of fast, and you just would have to try whatever one works for you. But it's important to realize that fasting and prayer prior to a healing session will get you closer to God, build up your faith, enable you to be more powerful in the session, depending upon what kind of demonic activity you may be involved with. Now, another issue that we spoke about last week was praying. And we had several different types of praying. And I just wanted to mention that when we pray for something, we should listen to God. If we're praying for something, we should expect a response from God. And that response, many times, will simply be something that flows out of us that's not in us. My wife and I can go both recognize. We know each other very well. And frequently, I'll say something to her and she'll say to me, or I'll say it to her, that wasn't from me. That was from somebody else. That was from God. So it's important to understand how God works, and listening to a response and expecting a response from your prayers is certainly a critical part of communicating with God. And my last comment here is about email. We are looking for email feedback from you. They will announce it at the end of the show, but we also have a mailing address, which is P.O. Box 218 in McHenry, Maryland. Zip code 21541 for those who don't have email. And we want to send out some newsletters and some prayers that I'm sure you'd be interested in the coming weeks. So if you can, send us your email and we'll give you information by return email. Thank you.
So you know by now that the purpose of our discussion about prayers for last week and this week is to enable you to have a close personal relationship with Jesus. You can also be led by the Holy Spirit towards other goals in your life. Remember that when Jesus walked the earth, 70% of the miracles he performed were involving healings. And some places he could not heal because the unbelief was too strong. So there are other parameters that affect your ability to heal. And, of course, God is sovereign. God can do whatever he wants to do. The key factor here with God is to make sure that you're in the will of God. And Jesus, of course, when he walked the earth, was in the will of God. So, therefore, healing is for today. On another note, I wanted to give you some idea about what's going on in Iran and Iraq today. The disagreement between the Muslim groups dates back to 632 AD, when the two main Muslim groups split over who should lead them after the Prophet Muhammad died. If you come to the day, the struggle is still about religion, politics, and boundaries. The vast majority of the world's 1.6 billion Muslims are Sunni in countries like Egypt, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. Shia Muslims are actually a tiny minority overall. In Iran and Iraq, Shias are in control. This terrorist group, ISIL, has been making headlines in recent weeks for their brutal attacks on Iraqi cities. The group wants to create a Sunni Muslim state governed by Sharia law. Right now, their goal is regional, but experts believe that they may soon be exporting terrorism around the globe. And of course, that threat's been out there for several years. But it's still a complicated situation and a big problem for the U.S. and the entire region. On another note, it looks like deception is abounding, with many Christian leaders from different denominations saying that the God of Islam and the God of Christianity are the same. Wow, I was never taught that. The Bible doesn't say that. The Quran, the Book of Islam, says that Allah doesn't have any sons. Why are Christian leaders saying these things that on their face are simply not true? On top of that, it looks like some of these Christian leaders are saying that it's okay for us to worship Allah, whereas the people, the Muslims in Indonesia, have said in their high courts that non-Muslims should not be using the name of Allah. So, again, deception abounding, but could it be these are marketing ploys to become the most popular religion and also connect to Islam and also, on top of that, become the new and improved one world religion? This is stuff that's just right out of the Book of Revelation, and you can't make this stuff up. There was several statements. I think the quantity of Christian leaders involved in signing some document that enables Christianity and Islam to come together is several hundred. I don't know what's going on with the clergy, but I know that this is something that we need to pay attention to so we don't get sucked into it. Okay, well, again, thanks for listening today. We hope you learned a lot. We hope that you enjoy what you learn, and we hope to see you next week. So thanks again. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to our show, hosted by Dr. Bill and Barbara Dewar. Contact them at Revelation Wisdom Ministries at Post Office Box 218, McHenry, Maryland, 21541, or by email rwmi5555@gmail.com. And please consider supporting this program by contributing on our website, rwmin.org, or sending your tax-deductible donation to Post Office Box 218, McHenry, Maryland, 21541.